Thank you, Ms. Tiberia. It was a great message in song for us tonight. Amen. We have a treat tonight. I'm blessed. So many of our graduates have stayed and are on staff, and we take a great honor in that they stay with us and work with us here on staff. And some of them stay for a little while, and then they end up and go to other places. And so tonight I've asked Tyler Revel is in town, and many of you know my history with him. And I'm not going to tell on him a whole lot because he may tell on me. But it is a blessing to have him back. And Pastor used to always call it clipping coupons. And so tonight it's my turn to clip a coupon. This is someone that I've been able to, the Lord has led my life to invest in. And I've spent a lot of time with him, and he needed a lot of time. So you come and preach to us, my brother. Appreciate
it. Amen. Good evening. There's a lot of people in here. Amen. I told my wife, she said, you look nervous. And I said, well, it could be worse. He could have asked us to sing. Amen. So that would have been worse. Amen. Getting more nervous about that. If you grab your Bibles with me, turn to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 13. If you have no clue who I am and you say, who is that young guy up there? I am a nobody that for some weird reason the Lord decided to use, and I'm thankful for that. I'm not boasting of anything I've done. I'm boasting of what the Lord has done. And as Brother Parsons said, it took a lot of time. Amen. It took a lot of time. It took a lot of patience. And Brother Parsons invested a lot. But if it wasn't for Miss Parsons cooking, I don't know if I would have came to church. Amen. So the college students said, amen. I'll tell you, that's what we miss about Landmark. We miss a lot of stuff. But Miss Parsons cooking is a good thing. Amen. Miss Parsons, you can laugh at this. I know you hate detention, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because my wife said the other week, she was talking about what she wanted me to make, and she said, what one of Miss Parsons' recipes do you want me to cook now? So we laughed about that and had a good time. So we moved away about a year and a half ago. Many of you guys do know that, and you guys are asking how we are doing. All right, we've been doing good. We've moved to Albany, Georgia. The Lord has been blessing us. Everything has been very good there. You don't want to know how I'm doing. You want to know how Hannah is doing. Hannah, I believe, is doing great, and as far as I know, she's doing good. She's teaching now. And she's teaching second grade, I believe. And if that is wrong, I'm not going to look over at her. So she tells me it's wrong. Amen. But she has been teaching, and she's very much enjoying that. We love our church up there. We have a church full of loving people just like this one. We have a church that is true to God's word. I tell you, I do enjoy Albany. I am just, Brother Parsons was like a second dad to me, raised me, grew up on the eastern shore of Maryland. We talk a little funny. We say some words. We like to use ain't a lot. I tell you, it's a good thing that we're in Albany because they understand that and they talk like that. All right. We love Albany. We might have bad customer service, but at least it's not Waycross. Amen. At least it's not Waycross. I owed someone that one. So I'm going to take it where I can. So 2 Samuel chapter 13. I hope you're there. If you know this story, you're probably beginning to think, why in the world is he preaching from this passage of scripture? This is not an unfamiliar passage of scripture, but to be honest, it probably would be a less comfortable passage of scripture to read. But I believe wholeheartedly that the Lord put everything in the Bible for a reason. Hey, can I tell you, we sang about the empty tomb, and I was sitting in that seat, and I was nervous to get up here. And I am still nervous to get up here, but then we were singing about the empty tomb, and can I tell you, that was a blessing to me. And I'm so glad that we have that hope, and beyond the cross, there's an empty tomb. I'm so glad that Jesus did not stay on that cross, but he went to that tomb, and he didn't stay in the tomb. And he rose again. Hey, can I tell you, I believe the Lord lets us know that for a reason. And I believe the Lord lets us get this passage of scripture so we can learn from it too. So we'll start in verse number 1, 2 Samuel chapter number 13. It says, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, that she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimron, David's brother, and Jonadab was a subtle man. Look over to verse number 11, we're going to pick up there for the sake of time. It says, and when she had brought him unto eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him and said, no, nay, my brother, do not force me, for so much thing ought not be done in Israel. Do not this folly. And it says, and I, whether shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold thee from me. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Let's pray real quick. Dear Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I pray you just speak through me. Lord, I don't want to get up here and give what I think about the scripture. Lord, I want to get up here and just be guided by you. Lord, I believe this is the message you've laid on my heart. Lord, I believe this will be fitting to your people, Lord, because you put it on my heart. Lord, I pray you just speak through me. I pray you just empower me. Lord, I pray you hide me behind your cross. Lord, I love you. And I ask this all in your name. Amen. You begin to say, Brother Tyler, why in the world would you preach this passage of scripture? Why would you preach such an outrageous and gruesome sin in this? I kind of want to digest this passage of scripture a little bit, and let me make something clear very quick so there's no confusion. I'm not justifying, I'm not saying that this sin is not a wicked, abominable sin, not a terrible sin, because it is. It is a gross, gruesome sin and something that never should have happened. But we begin to look about this, and one of the things I see in this passage of scripture, not just this sin, but sin is real. Hey, can I tell you, at Landmark Baptist Church in Haines City, Florida, sin is real. Can I tell you, you can fall. Can I tell you one thing I see about Amnon here is that Amnon had a position. Amnon wasn't a nobody who was just in the kingdom of Israel. He wasn't just some plain Jane guy, but he was someone who was at the king's table. He was at the place that everyone wanted to be. He was at the king's table, yet Amnon sinned and Amnon fell. Hey, can I tell you? You might be at Landmark Baptist Church and you might be able to serve in the ministry and you might do something, but you know what? You can sin. Hey, it might not be this sin, and it's probably not. But you can fall and you can sin and make a mistake. Hey, can I tell you really quickly, one of the first things I see in this passage of scripture is that sin is real and we can sin. Hey, can I tell you, I don't have to tell you that. We live in a world that's wicked. We live in a world that's deprived of God's word. We live in a world, as Brother Parson said in bus meeting, that you can't watch TV without a homosexual being shoved down your throat. You can't turn on the radio without hearing some type of music that glorifies sins and tears down the devil. Hey, can I tell you? That's how atrocious it's got. It's not only okay. They don't only have to glorify their sin in their songs. They have to tear down the Lord. I said the devil, but they have to tear down the Lord. Can I tell you? That's wicked. That's bad. It's grown to a place. But I don't have to tell you that. You know that. I don't have to convince you of that. You will amen me and you will understand that. We get that. We agree on that. But can I tell you, that world is bad and the world is wicked. But can I tell you, sin can get in this church too. Yeah. And sin can get in your pew with you. Hey, can I tell you, if you're not careful, sin can get in your life. You say, Brother Tyler, I couldn't fall. I couldn't make a mistake that would mess up my ministry, that would mess up my family, that would mess up my life. I'm too good of a person. I'm pretty sure if you asked anyone in the kingdom of Israel, they would have said the king's son was too good of a person too. They would have said, no way the guy that sits at the king's table and the guy who's involved in decisions in the kingdom would have fell. But yet he did. You say, Brother Tyler, I'm not going to do that. Hey, can I tell you, there's someone who wants you to fall, and that's the devil. If you grab your Bibles, flip over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, and you know where I'm going with this. Can I tell you, the devil wants you to sin. Hey, the devil might have control of the world, and it might be rough. They might have bad music. They might preach against. They might do everything they can to stand against the church. But can I tell you, young person? Can I tell you, adult? Can I tell you, teenager? The devil's not content with that. Yeah. The devil's not going to be content until he can get in the midst of this church and tear down this church. Until he can get in the midst of your life and tear up your family and your ministry. Hey, can I tell you, he wants to do that. Yeah. And look in 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 8. It says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Hey, can I tell you, college student? Can I tell you, church member? The devil wants you to fall. Can I tell you really quick? You say, Brother Tyler, I could never fall. And you say, why do you keep repeating that? Because I believe that's the argument my flesh has with me. That, oh, I couldn't do that because of where I come from. Hey, what about Job? Job was a righteous man, upright man in everything that he did. And the devil wanted him to fall. What was Job doing that made the devil so mad? He was living for God. Hey, can I tell you, when you're living for God, it makes the devil mad. He wants to make you fall. Hey, he eschewed evil, and everything he did is what the scripture says. And what happened? The devil tempted him, wanted to make him fall, and took everything away from him. And at the end of Job's life, Job did not curse God, but Job said, it would be better if I was never born. Can I tell you, you know what the devil did? He broke him down and got him to a weak point. What do you think about Peter? Someone who walked with God daily. Someone who walked with Jesus Christ in the ministry that God used almost more, if not just as much, as the rest of the disciples. And how many times did he deny Jesus Christ? You know what I love? I love about Peter, when you look at the after he cuts off the ear of someone else, cuts off the ear of one of the people that took Jesus away, the rest of the disciples left. If you read the details there in Luke, Peter followed afar off and was still watching. And the disciple that said, I'm still going to follow, even if they're turning around, I'm going to follow afar off, was the disciple that fell. Hey, can I tell you, Landmark Baptist Church, remember, you can fall if you're not careful.
Amen.
How do you know that? The devil even tried to tempt Jesus Christ. You talk about someone who couldn't fall, someone who wouldn't fall. He took him to a weak point in his life after he had fasted and tried to get him to fall. Tried to tempt him with food and said, if you're God, do this. Hey, I'll give you all of this if you just fall. If you just fall into temptation, I'll give you all of this and this can be all of it. Hey, can I tell you, you know what a lion does? A lion doesn't go to a herd of buffalo and go after the strongest one. He gets you at a weak point when something's hurting, when you've been upset about something, when something's going on in your life, and he attacks you then.
Yeah.
You know why he does that? Because he's clever and that's what he wanted to do. You know why he does that? I'm going to try to hasten because I got many points tonight. Jonadab here, we see his friend in verse number 13. It says, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. All right, and I'm going to get to the point about his friend in just a second. But Jonadab here, I believe wholeheartedly, can be equated to a picture of Satan. Because Jonadab had everything to gain from this. Jonadab wasn't going to get hurt by giving Amnon bad advice. If you look in verse number 32 and verse number 35 of the same chapter, if you turn over to the next page there, it says in verse number 32, it says, and Jonadab, the son of Simeon, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's son, for Amnon only is dead. And we're not going to finish reading it. You say, Brother Tyler, okay, he's talking again. Well, in the beginning of the chapter, he's talking to Amnon. And at the end of the chapter, who is he giving counsel to? The king. He then has moved from having the king, the Amnon's ear, to having the king's ear. Hey, can I tell you, we know what the devil wants to do? He doesn't want to just get in and mess your life up. He wants to go from the sin in your life, and he wants to get to someone else's life. He wants to go tempt someone else because you sinned and get a gateway into someone else's life. Hey, can I tell you, Landmark Baptist Church member, your sin matters. Can I tell you, you need to be careful and be guarded about this. Let me give you a next point here. Look in verse number 2. It says, Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. What do we see in this story? I believe Amnon, for a short period of time, realized the temptation and stood against it. It says in the end of the verse, it says, Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. I believe Amnon, just like some people in this church, saw the temptation and said, oh, let me be careful. Or, oh, I can't do that because of this or because of that. Hey, can I give you a few reasons here why I believe Amnon did not sin? Didn't at first. I know Amnon did sin. I believe for a second he thought about who he was.
Yeah.
I believe for a second he said, you know what? I can't do this. I'm a son of the king. I am the king's son. I have a name in the house of Israel. I have a name in the house of David. I cannot sin like this. And he probably stopped himself for a little bit. I believe he probably thought to himself, well, if I sin, what is going to happen to my dad? What's going to happen to the leadership if I sin and if I fall? If I fall into temptation, what's going to happen there? I believe he was probably scared about the consequences of sin, because sin has consequences.
Amen.
Can I repeat that? Sin has consequences, and it has many consequences. And to be honest with you, I believe as Christians, when we're tempted to sin, if we sit down and think about it, we realize that sin has consequences.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of times we justify them in our heads.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe Amnon was probably in this place. But you know what Amnon should have done in this place? He should have set up some safeties in his life. Don't turn now, I'll read it to you. But in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 2, it says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Hey, you know what? When Amnon realized that he was tempted to sin and when he was tempted to do wrong, he should have put some safeguards in his life to save him. You say, Brother Tyler, what are you talking about? Men, do we not face temptations every day? Do we not go through our daily life and people dress like no business, don't cover themselves up, and you face temptations of that? Ladies, do we not have temptations? Do you not have temptations to argue, to get upset with someone, to get offended by something? Hey, can I tell you, you know what Amnon should have done at this point? He should have put some safeguards between his life. Hey, you know what safeguards are going to take? The first step to that is realizing you can sin. Can I tell you, the Bible says pride goeth before a fall. Okay? You know what you need to do not to be prideful about that? That as a church member, as a college student, as a senior saint at Landmark Baptist Church, as a teenager, you need to realize that you can sin. You need to realize that there's someone who wants you to sin and someone that's going to do everything to convince you to sin and to be tempted. And when you realize that, you need to put some safeguards in your life. Hey, teenagers, I get to work with teenagers now, and praise the Lord for that. I have a great group of teenagers. But you know what? We still have rules for them. I don't let them take their phones on teen activities. Brother Jesse might be different than that, and praise the Lord if he is. But I can't trust my teens to do that. They pass them phones around. They play music they ought not to play. They show people things they ought not to show them. And they're great teenagers. But you know what I did? I said, let me take this out of the equation. Let me put a safeguard in my life. You know what Amnon should have done? He should have said, I'm not going near that young lady if I'm tempted to do that. If I'm tempted to sin, I'm not going to be in a room alone with her when no one else is there. Yeah. Hey, you know what you need to do, Christian, when we're tempted to sin? Whether it be the sin with the other sex, or whether it be a sin of skipping church, whether it be a sin of any sin in your life, we need to put some safeguards in your life so you don't do that. Can I give you a third point? If we look in the next verse, and I know you know that I'm going there, and I promise I won't harp on it. It says, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. This gets preached a lot sometimes. It says, but Amnon had a friend. Hey, can I tell you? I believe Amnon stood against sin for a minute. He stood against sin because he found it hard to do. But there's a but in it that says, but Amnon had a friend. Hey, can I tell you, your friends matter. Amen. Hey, teenager, you want to stay pure for God? You want to live for Jesus Christ? Who your friends are matter. Amen. Hey, college student, I'm not so far removed from college that I don't remember having bad friends and making bad decisions. I remember making bad decisions that I regret. Church member? This sounds like a teenage message, doesn't it? It sounds like I'm preaching to teenagers. Praise the Lord. You're not going to get preaching tonight. Hey, can I tell you, it matters to you too. Can I tell you, I'm going to give you a quote. I heard a preacher say, you will be what your friends are now in 4 years. Can I tell you, as a teenager, I would argue with that point, and Brother Parsons will probably say amen to that. You will be what your friends are. Can I tell you, who you hang around affects you? And I would have argued that point with you as a young person. Probably as a college student, I would have argued that point with you. And you say, Brother Tyler, I don't agree with you on that point. Look at Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3. Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3. Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3. It says, can two, in Amos chapter 3 and verse number 3, can two walk together except they agree? Talking about the people of Israel mixing with another nation. Talking about them mixing with people that don't believe like them. Can two walk together except they agree? You say, maybe that doesn't fit that. I'll read you Proverbs chapter 27. Or Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 20. It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Hey, can I tell you, member of Landmark Baptist Church, who your friends are matters. Amen. Who you hang out with matters. Hey, can I tell you, I work with teenagers, and you can see a teenager's true color by who they gravitate to and who they hang out to. Yeah. Hey, can I tell you, Brother Jesse, I know you agree with me, but when you get a new teenager in the youth group, who they gravitate to, the group they gravitate to, and how that group acts is how that teenager probably is. And the Lord can change them. Hey, can I tell you, that's not just applicable to teenagers. That's applicable to college students. That they gravitate to people they're like. Can I tell you, I believe that's applicable to church members. That they gravitate to people. Hey, can I tell you? I heard a pastor say this illustration. He had a church member, not a teenager, not a college student. He had a lady in his church come into his office and say, "Pastor, I just need to talk to you. I need to figure out what's going on in my life. I've come to church and I feel like I'm not getting anything from the message. I feel like the Lord's not talking to me anymore." And it was an older pastor, and in his wisdom, he said, "Okay, I want to ask you a question." He said, "Have you been talking about me behind my back?" And the lady looked at him a little dumbfounded. And she said, well preacher, why would you ask me that question?" And he said, "Well, I know where your car has been parked throughout the week. And I know the lady you're in church that you've been hanging out with. And I know she talks about me. I know that she backbites. I know that she doesn't respect her preacher." And you know what? That lady had got that attitude. That she had started talking bad about her preacher. She had been talking bad about her preacher and not getting anything from God's word because she had lost her respect for her pastor. Hey, can I tell you, we look at Jonadab and we look at Amnon. We see Amnon, he probably did not sin because he thought it hard to do because he realized who his dad was. He realized the position his dad held, but Jonadab had no respect for leadership. He had no respect for the king. Thus, he gave Amnon a plan on how he could sin. And said, "Go tell your dad this." Had no respect for the leadership. Hey, can I tell you, church member, if you hang around people that don't have respect for your pastor, you won't have respect for your pastor. Can I tell you, if you hang around people that get a negative attitude about that campaign that's going on right there, you have a negative attitude about that campaign going on right there. Hey, can I tell you, teenager, when you get around someone that wants to complain about the reason your youth pastor does something, you're going to get a negative attitude. Hey, college student, when you hang around people that have a problem with the dress code or have a problem with the way someone does something, you're going to get that attitude too. Yeah, right. You say, "Brother Tyler, that's not true." Well, the Bible says it's true. Amen. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Hey, can I tell you, adult, you need to be careful who you're hanging out with. Yeah. That sounds like a teenage message, who your friends are. Beware who your friends are. That sounds like something that we get up on the pulpit and we preach to teenagers day in and day out. But the sad truth is that many teenagers watch their parents hang out with someone that's a bad influence to them, and their teenager gets on them about who they're hanging out. And they yell at their teenagers, yet they're not being careful who they're hanging out with. Yep. Hey, can I tell you, that's not a fun thing. And I just stepped on some of your toes because you're looking at me like you're mad. Move your toes because I'm stepping, okay? Hey, can I tell you, you know what, church? You know why the devil did that? You know why Jonadab did that and why he got Amnon to sin? Because he had everything to gain. And when you get an attitude against your preacher and you get an attitude against your church and against the things of the house of God, Satan then has gained someone who's not who doesn't have the right motives, who's not serving the Lord for the right reason. Hey, adult, you need to be careful who your friend is. And you need to be careful who you hang out with. Can I tell you? Because you can sin and you can fall. And you say, "Brother Tyler, I don't have friends. I don't hang out with people." Oh, I believe that would be different. Can I tell you, the people you watch preach online out of here affect you. Yeah. The Facebook posts you read after affect you. Yeah. The books you read after, they affect you. Yeah. Can I tell you, Christian, it is a good thing to have friends. But you ought to be careful about who your friends is and who you let influence you. Can I give you my fourth point here? And look in verse number 17. We'll get there in just a second. Why do we have to be careful of our sin? Why, as Christians, it's not going to affect your salvation. You can go out and sin and listen to rock music and drink alcohol and do whatever you want to do and not lose your salvation if you're saved. It just affects your relationship with God, right? That's your own personal decision. Can I tell you? Your sin affects other people too. It just does not affect you. It affects other people. Look in verse number 17. This is where we see the results of Amnon's sin. Tamar is affected by this. In verse number 17. In verse number 17 it says, "Then he called his servant that ministered unto him." This is talking about Amnon. "And said, put this woman out from me, bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of diverse colors upon her, for which such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appealed. Then his servants brought her out, bolted the door after her. Then Tamar put on ashes on her head and rent her garments of diverse colors that were on her and laid her hand on her head and went out crying. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, "Hath Amnon, thy brother, been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister, he is thy brother. Regard not this thing." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. This sin affected Tamar's whole life. Tamar never married after this. Tamar could never look on a man and love him by trust. She then lost her trust with all men. You say, "Brother Tyler, this sin is outrageous. This sin is grievous. Yes, this is going to hurt somebody." I understand that. I get that. But can I tell you, sin is sin. And when we sin, it affects other people. Hey, can I tell you, there's someone in this church that looks at you. Can I tell you, Brother Jesse, you have a row full of teenagers that look to you. Can I tell you, Bus Captain, you have a bus full of kids and adults that they look to you to see what you're doing. You say, "Brother Tyler, I don't have a position in church. I don't have something that I do." Well, you have a family, and they look to you. I remember growing up as a teenager, and you might not know my testimony, but I was a bus kid that someone took a bus by and knocked on my door and invited me to church. And I started coming to church, and I got out of church. And then this guy showed up my house and tried to bribe me with candy, and it worked. And so I came back to church. Hey, can I tell you? But when I started living for God, and when I became full-time, and I said, "Man, I'm going to be a Christian, and I'm going to live for God," when I sinned and I made a mistake, it affected my family. And they looked at me and they said, "But you're supposed to be a Christian. I don't think you're supposed to say words like that. I don't think you're supposed to have the attitude about that, because my sin affected someone else." Hey, Christian, can I tell you? You know why your sin matters? Because it's not just a personal problem. It's a problem with other people, because they see you sin and they affect it. But there wasn't just Tamar that was affected by this sin. Amnon, Absalom was affected by this sin too. Look in verse number 28 and 29 and we'll read it quickly. Verse number 28 and 29. This is Absalom talking. It says, "But now Absalom commanded his servant, saying, Mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and say unto you, Smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have I commanded you. Be courageous and valiant." And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's son arose, and every man got him up his mule and fled. Absalom is Tamar's brother. And he wasn't sinned against, but his sister was sinned against. And he saw it. If you look in verse number 22, we're not going to read it, but the beginning of it says, "And it came to pass after 2 full years." This is 2 years after this has happened. Tamar's brother Absalom has been bitter in his heart, has been mad at Amnon. It says in verse number 22, and we're not going to read it, but it says he wouldn't even talk to him, and he was his own brother. His sin affected him so much that he had him killed. So much that he didn't want nothing to do with him. It said he wouldn't talk good nor bad about his brother. He didn't want his name to be mentioned in front of him. Hey, can I tell you, there's many churches around America, including this one, when someone sins, someone else gets hurt, and they don't want you to say their name in front of them because they're hurt and they're bitter. Can I tell you, Absalom's life after this then goes on a downhill spiral. If you know the story of Absalom, what happens? He kills his brother. His dad, King David, is mad and sends out people and says, "What's going on here? Go get my son and figure out why he killed his brother. What is going on?" And eventually he comes back, but for 2 years, his dad won't look at him. His dad cannot look at his own son because of the sin he committed against his other son, because that son's sin affected him too. How does that keep going? If you look in chapter number 15 and verse number 6, and I'm watching the time and I will hasten. In verse number 6, chapter number 15, Absalom at this point has then bucked up against his dad, has decided that he doesn't want to live under his dad anymore, but he wants to be king. Absalom was a good son, but this sin happened, and this sin affected him so much that he rebelled against his own against his own dad and his own king. It says, on this matter did Absalom to all of Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Let me put this story in perspective for you very quickly, and I will hasten. Absalom is the king's son that was in good favor with his king, with his father. Amnon sinned. Absalom got mad, had his brother killed, then got bitter against his dad. Got mad against his dad because of the sin that went on and blamed his dad for that. Then developed to the point where his life mission was to tear down his dad's kingdom. And he went in by the gate side and he tried to steal the hearts of the men of Israel. You say, Brother Tyler, how is this applicable? There's a lot of other churches and denominations and people that believe the Bible that used to be Baptist. There's a lot of people that used to sit in the pew that you're sitting in that used to go here that the only thing they say at about Landmark Baptist Church is bad stuff. Yeah. Hey, can I tell you, you know why? Because someone sins against them, they got offended and blamed God. Is that the person who sins' fault? No, that's not their fault that they made that decision. But if they had never sinned in the first place, that may not have been such a bad of a problem. Hey, can I tell you, it says in this, and I love this phrase, it says, stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Can I tell you why Satan goes around as a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour? Because he wants to steal the hearts of Landmark Baptist Church. Because he wants to steal the hearts of the college students at Landmark Baptist College. Because he wants to steal your heart away from God. Can I tell you, if you look at this illustration here, we mentioned Jonadab, and Jonadab led it, trying to get Amnon to sin. Because Jonadab wanted to step in between him and the king. And he got that position when he sinned. He then got the king's ear. Can I tell you what the devil wants to do? He wants to step in between your relationship between you and God. He wants to step in your relationship between this church and God. He wants to get in the way of the Holy Spirit with your sin so he can't bless this church anymore. Can I tell you, your sin affects other people. It affected Tamar. It affected Absalom. It affects people that follow you. But let's state the obvious fact. Your sin affects you. It affects you big time. If you look, and I'm almost done, this is my last point, in verse number 15 to chapter number 13, it says, then Amnon hated her exceedingly. This is talking about Tamar, and it just talked about how much Amnon loved her. It talked about how much Amnon loved her, and it was lust. But he thought it was love, and it says, and Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred within he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. It says, and she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst did unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her. You know what Amnon's sin did? It changed his heart. Amnon loved this girl, it said. You say, Brother Tyler, he didn't really love her. It says love in the Bible. Okay? Amen. You deal with God on that. He had feelings about this young lady. And after he sinned, he hated her. Yeah. Get her out. I don't want to see her. I don't want to do that. That wasn't Tamar's fault. Amnon's sin changed her heart. Can I tell you? When you get sin in your life, you can't love God the way you ought to do because your sin changes your heart. Amen. Hey, can I tell you? The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? The Bible also says, no man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other. Hey, can I tell you? You can't sin and be right with God. It changes your heart and it affects you. You know what else it does? It hurts your relationship with your Father. Can I tell you, as a Christian, you might better sin for a little while and not get caught. No one might ever see what you're doing behind closed doors. No one ever hears the thoughts that you think. But your sin affects your relationship with God. It affects your relationship with your Father, just like it affected Amnon's sin, a relationship with his Father. If you look in verse number 21, it says, but when King David heard all these things, he was very wroth. If you look at this and you read down, and I won't go into it for sake of the details, his kingdom then begin to fall apart. David was in a battle. He was distraught. And he had so many things that were going on. And because Amnon sinned, his relationship with his father was broken. Can I tell you, I remember a time and place in my life that I felt like I wasn't as close to God anymore. That I felt like God wasn't using me the way I thought he ought to be. Or the way I really thought he called me to do something. But you know what had happened? Sin had crept up in my life. And had gotten in the way of my relationship between Jesus Christ. And it had changed my heart. It had affected my relationship with my father. Can I tell you, church? You say, why do you do this? Why would you get up there and preach against sin in a church that's running a campaign? That's doing something so great. That's running so many bus routes and the bus were up. Why would you get up there and preach that message? Why wouldn't you get up there and just encourage us? Because when God has something big around the corner, Satan tries his hardest to tear it down. Hey, can I tell you what he wants to do? Is he wants to steer your heart away from the man of God, from God himself. And he wants to mess up this ministry. Hey, can I tell you, David's kingdom was in shackles at this time. He was fighting. There was almost a civil war going on. This kingdom wasn't doing what God intended for it to do because of the sin that had crept in. Because David was going to have to deal with his sons. Can I tell you, this church won't do what it's supposed to do if sin gets in and we get at each other like this. Hey, can I tell you, that's why we need to be careful of our sin. Amen. We need to realize that we can sin. We need to guard against it. And we need to be careful who our friends are. Amen. Can I tell you, that friends thing is important. Friends are important. I have friends. That's one of the reasons we came down for the visit. And I went out Friday night with a group of guys. And Brother John and I have known each other since we were kids. Hey, can I tell you, that was an encouragement to me. I enjoy friends. Hey, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. But you ought to be careful. You need to realize you can sin. Put guards around it. And then hang out with people that lift you up. What do we look for in a sin? What do we look for in a friend? Someone who's loyal. Someone who sticks with us. Someone who loves us. Someone who cares about us, who wants what's best for us. That's what we look for in a friend. Can I tell you, the world says when you judge friendship, they say, would you take a bullet for me? Okay, which is a far-fetched, like, don't ask someone that. Okay, but that's their terminology on how good of a friend you are. I'd take a bullet for him, or I'd catch a grenade for him, or whatever they say. Can I tell you, that's biblical. It said no greater love than this than a man lay down his life for his friend. Hey, can I tell you, there's a friend that's greater than all. There's a friend that loves like no other. There's a friend that loves you in your sin. That he sees the sin you're dealing with today. And he wants you to get it right. Because he loves you that much. There's a friend that when you do him wrong, he forgives you. There's a friend when you mess up, when you don't show up to something you're supposed to be at, he forgives you. When you make a promise, you don't come full on it. And that friend is Jesus Christ. Maybe you've wandered into Landmark Baptist Church tonight. And you said, what in the world are you preaching about? Hey, I'm preaching about Jesus Christ. Hey, can I tell you, he's a friend that's sticking close to him, brother. And he wants to be a friend to you. Can I tell you what a good friend is? Helps you with something when you're not paying attention. Before you know there is a need, he fixes that need. That's a good friend. I'm telling you, that's a really good friend. There was a day and place that Jesus Christ saw a need that you have. And that was the need for your sin to be paid for. And what did he do? He came and he hung on a cold, rugged cross. He willingly let them drive nails through his hands and through his feet for you. Before you ever knew you needed him, he did that. He knew you were going to sin against him and do wrong. Yet he still did that. Can I tell you, that's a friend I want to have. That's a friend I want to keep and be close to. And today, if you've never met him as your friend, you can meet him today. And that's why we have an old-fashioned altar up here. And we'd love for you to come forward. We'd love for you to come up here and have someone tell you about that friend that sticking closer than a brother, that loves like no other. With heads bowed and eyes closed, can we pray very quickly? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. God, I am so thankful for you. Lord, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here and preach. Lord, I thank you for just a friend you are to me. Lord, I pray that you just be with this church. Lord, I pray you safeguard us. Lord, I pray you keep the devil out. Lord, I know he wants to get in here and he wants to mess with this ministry. Lord, I pray you keep him out. Lord, I thank you for this preacher. Lord, I thank you that he stands on your word. Lord, I pray you be with people in here today. Lord, if someone doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, that they'd come to know you tonight. Lord, we ask this in your name.
Would you stand to your feet tonight? you need to come, why don't you step out and come tonight? It's a great message for us. Amnon had a friend. Maybe tonight you just realize that sin can destroy the lives of people, not just your life. Maybe you were taking chances with just you, but you're a part of something bigger than that. If you're a part of this church, part of a family, sin can take down a whole kingdom, as we've seen in the scripture. Why don't you step out and come, as Brother Bert sings.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender. I surrender all.
While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, why don't you step out and come tonight and let us take a Bible. And we'll show you how Jesus came and died on Calvary, but then rose again to pay for your sin debt. Let us take a Bible tonight. If you're here and you're not 100% sure of heaven, step out. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved, as Brother Bert continues to sing.
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all, all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know Thy power divine. I surrender. My blood.